You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, back in a pre-COVID-19 world.
I remember it well.
And hopefully in the not-too-distant future, if everything gets better, I used to love, like, travelling around everywhere, going on a holiday. I think everyone, like, no one despises going on holidays, do they?
Was your last travel was to Cambodia, or where was your last
That was
spot?
The last overseas one.
Yeah, that was the last beyond Australian borders.
Yeah, I think I went to Adelaide a couple of times.
How old are you in your passport photo?
I don't know.
Is it notably different?
Well, no, it's still me. it's not like I've got my passport photo is a photo of a 10-year-old girl.
Well, 2020 wears hard on the features, Jordan, so true. You might need to update it next time you look to go.
I know, I might have to update it. But Simo, not all aspects of travelling around and flying around on planes are fun. I think we can all agree that if you've ever done the long-haul flights, they're pretty not great.
Yeah.
Can we say?
They're not amazing.
A couple of things don't make them great: being squashed in a seat, perhaps the seat's uncomfortable, and the food as well. And that is where I want to go with this, Simo. Aeroplane food, I think it's pretty wildly accepted that unless you're sitting at the front of the plane, it's going to be terrible what you're eating.
That's fair.
However, Simo, a company that actually makes the aeroplane food for Australia, they're called Gates Gourmet, because like all the planes are grounded, they've got an access, they've got like a stockpile of food. So they are now selling it online quite cheap.
Okay.
So if you want to get to the, quote, delicious meal that you'd get in the sky on the ground, now you can.
Did we find out that taste buds, they change at altitude, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah. So, like, what the things that you taste at, like, several thousand feet taste differently at ground level.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why aeroplane food tastes terrible.
I think that's just a myth. That's I can sense marketing here.
It smells like a myth, hey.
No, it's just the altitude. It makes the food taste terrible. But weirdly, the food at the front doesn't taste terrible for the business class passengers.
Because the interesting part about that is, imagine then if aeroplane food at ground level tastes amazing.
You never know. This could be your chance to find out.
Yeah.
I have heard another myth about aeroplane food. Again, I don't know if this is true or not. But apparently, during the cooking process of the food,
right,
they put something on it. I don't know what it is, but it makes you not want to do a number two for a couple of hours, or like until you land. So you eat the food, and it'll make you not want to go to the bathroom until you land, so you don't clog up, for lack of a better word, the airplane toilets. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Don't get into a dairy. Don't do a lot of that. By the way, from reputable news sources, once at altitude, the combination of dry air and pressure it reduces the taste bud sensitivity.
Wow.
The perception of saltiness and sweetness drops by around 30% at high altitude. That's according to a study done by German airline in 2010.
Okay, well, in that case, aeroplane food, just feed me a whole load of vegetables. Like, while I'm up there and I can't taste them, because they taste terrible normally, just throw them all down my throat.
Yeah, you could maybe open a fine dining restaurant, like...
On an aeroplane.
At sea level, right?
Yeah.
Just from aeroplane food.
It could taste delicious, like, we don't know.
Yeah, it's like, that's 5-star Yelp reviews for sure.
Simo and Jordan.
And have you got any kind of fad things from your schoolyard days floating around at home?
What do you mean, like fads? Like
things that were cool in the schoolyard or maybe in the classroom.
Oh, I see.
You know, the novelty stuff?
I think I've still got some Beyblades. Do you remember them?
Yes, good.
They were these kind of, I don't know how you describe them, kind of cylinder shape things that like spin around on a point. And, you know, your mate would spin one around and they would kind of crash into each other, and whoever's went off balance first.
Yes.
Lost.
Whoever stopped spinning first.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Now, speaking of schoolyard trivial faddy things, there is a Pokemon card. Did you ever get into the cards?
No, I wasn't a Pokemon card kind of guy.
Right. An extremely rare Pokemon card, thought to be only one of seven ever produced, is going to sell at auction online, experts saying that it's going to fetch around $100,000.
Okay, what makes this Pokemon card so valuable? Is it just purely the fact that there's only 7 of them in the world?
Yeah, plus there's no creases. Like, you know, when they've taken it to school, none of the corners have been folded or anything like that. So it's in mint condition.
They haven't spilled half their lunch on it.
No cordial stains, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also because of the type of card it is, it's very, very rare. And obviously the rarity goes with its 1 out of 7. So there's only 7 in existence.
Okay.
Out of all the Pokemon cards that you've ever seen, like your nieces, your nephews, whatever, that are floating around with the cards playing at Christmas, they do not have access to this card, nor will they ever.
Unless they've got 100 grand. That's which right. If your 7-year-old niece happens to just have a lazy 100,000 grand, $100,000 lying around.
Please just invest. Just invest.
Invest in perhaps a Pokemon card, which is selling on online auction.
So it's the Pokemon Super Secret Battle number 1 trainer card. So it's the 1 of 7.
Okay.
Now, it's billed at Auction House as the holy grail of collectible cards.
Mm.
Now, it's only ever been won. It wasn't dished out into circulation. It had to be won by a champion Pokemon card player.
Who now wants $100,000.
That's right.
Fair enough.
Fair enough, right? So that got me thinking. I was like, wow, maybe there's some other school kind of trivial crap in your garage or in your shed that's probably worth a bit of coin now.
I doubt that it would be worth a bit of coin, especially if you're calling it trivial crap.
It'll be worth over $100,000 if Pokemon cards are going for that much. So what we have is a top 5 fads that are probably worth $1 billion. Top 5!
You need to put an asterisk next to that. Probably worth $1 billion. They're not.
Number 5, yeah, your Beyblade. You've already mentioned the Beyblade.
Nice. So I'm a billionaire.
Have you got a couple still?
I think I do somewhere.
Of course you do. Did you have like a blue eyes white dragon on the top, or what did you have?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Dark Magician was on the top.
Simo, I think you were into this a lot more than me back in the day.
Also, the slap bracelets, they were rife through schools. They got banned.
What are slap bracelets?
So they're the ones that you get, like, it kind of looks like a ruler.
Okay.
And then, like, you get it, and then you, like, slap it down on your mate's arm.
Yeah.
And then it will curl around it. Do you remember those?
Oh, those.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember them.
That's right.
I thought they actually were just weird rulers, because there was a phase of getting weird rulers. Do you remember that?
Help you measure stuff.
No, but there was like the bendy rulers, then there was like an extension ruler, like a measuring tape type ruler that you'd flick. I don't know, maybe that was just my school. We went through novelty rulers, that was a thing.
Fidget spinners coming in at number 4.
They're not retro. Are they retro? When were fidget spinners?
Well, fidget spinners, there are gold and silver and like different makes available for the fidget spinner.
But I don't think they're old enough to be retro yet, because they were only a couple of years ago that they were, you know, popular.
Well, they had a comeback. So they were around in schools when I was at school.
Oh, were they? Oh, so they were, and then they came back.
And then they retroed, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So stock up on fidget spinners now, because they're going to come back at some point.
Tech decks. Did you have a tech deck?
Was that mini skateboards,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, that's the mini
skateboard. Oh, the nostalgia. Oh, I remember them. I got in so much trouble playing with them.
Number 3. Was it number 3? No, number 2 there for the tech decks. And coming in at number 1 for fads from school that are probably worth $1 billion now, the mood ring.
What's a mood ring?
Do you know what a mood ring? The girls are really into the mood rings, Jordan. This is pretty on brand that you don't know what it is.
I went to an all-boys school.
So mood rings, they're the ones you got the ring and then it changes colour throughout the day to let you know what kind of mood you're in, what kind of vibe you're feeling.
Okay.
Typically, it was always black, and I've checked the colours.
Okay, what does black mean? Does that mean happy?
Stressed.
Okay.
Although, at the time, we're always like, is that black or is that a really dark, deep purple? What is that?
Why, what's really deep, dark purple?
Very happy.
I mean, they're very, you know, you separate your colours a bit.
Either you're stressed about how happy you're feeling, you're a bit over-exuberant, you're stressing yourself out with how hard you're smiling for that day, or maybe you're just happy about being stressed and being busy.
Also, Mo, look, I think the one thing that we have learned from this is that me and you during school didn't actually do a lot of schoolwork.
Oh, 100% not at all.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, it's been a controversial week for mullets.
Yeah, the mullets have been front and centre as opposed to at the rear and at the back.
Fair enough. We're talking about mullets, the hairstyle, by the way, not mullets, the fish.
No, not the scaled fishy boys.
Earlier on in the week, a guy who was just turning 18, wanting to go out and buy his first drink in the world, was turned away. from a drinking establishment because of his mullet.
Look, it sounds to me as an ex-bartender, I was like, fair enough. He was apparently wearing a mullet, also wearing what else? Was he in a singlet and
pluggers as well? I think
that's right. The flip flops.
Mm-hmm. Well, Simo, see if you are in agreement with this the mullets related story that has popped up as well today. This is a Perth school that has banned students from having mullets.
Again, fair enough.
You say fair enough. That's interesting.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would have thought that you would have stood up for the mullets.
Oh, I endorse it. I endorse your choice to grow a mullet.
Mm.
You know, stick it to the man. If the schools didn't, like, make it... Like, if the schools didn't stop you, what's the attraction of having a mullet?
Oh, so what you're saying, the fact that it's... You can rebel against the system is why you'd want to have a mullet.
Everyone is doing their job there, Jordan. The young guys, whoever it is, growing the mullet, good. You know, fight against the power. The power themselves, you know, good for enforcing the rules.
And we shall move on.
I'm all in favour for it.
I'm really surprised. I thought that you would have been arcing up about this because... So the school in question is in Perth and all parents of kids got a letter which read, please note that the mullet has been seen as an extreme hairstyle and is not in keeping with the personal presentation of students. If your son currently has this hairstyle... Please ensure that this is rectified by the start of term 3.
Now, I like this. I'm a fan because it sets boundaries. I think it's good to have boundaries so you know, so you can push against them.
So what's your hair?
Yeah.
Did you, when you were at school, did you have, were there hair restrictions?
Oh, yes. But I didn't have any problem with them. I was very much a pretty straight cut kind of kid.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really know why this is actually even making news. Because, like, Simo... Your school had restrictions on how had to wear your hair.
Mm.
And, like, I went to a semi-posh private school.
Yeah, purple blazers.
And they had restrictions on how we had to wear our hair as well.
Mm.
So I don't know why this is, like...
It's definitely...
It's not new.
It's definitely something you can control. However, it would be worth mentioning that this has come out of Perth.
Yes.
All right. Few dudes getting around there with a bit of a look.
What are you trying to say about Perth?
Just saying.
Have you ever been to Perth?
There's a lot of sun out that way.
Have you ever been to Perth?
There's a lot of sun.
Have you ever been to Perth?
Yes, yes, yes.
Have you actually?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of sun out that way. You need the extra hair to protect the back of your neck because of the sunburn.
Mm.
So you grow it longer, and there you go.
I don't think that's why people are growing mullets.
Well, it's...
I don't think people walk into the barber and go, yeah, mullet, please. I'll save a whole lot of money on sunscreen because I won't have to apply it to the back of my neck.
Yeah, no, any...
Actually, I don't know if that counts. I don't know if hair counts as sun protection, actually. I don't think we should be endorsing that because you can get sunburn on your head even if you've got hair.
Well, have you seen the hats that are in schools that have the attached mullet? They got the flap that goes all the way down.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, but that protects from the sun. Hair does not.
Simo and Jordan.
What's the bedroom scenario? Are you sharing or are you in one of your own?
No, I've got my own bedroom this season. Last season I had to share with a couple of other people.
Yeah.
But I've splashed out a little bit and got my own this season.
Okay, and so what's the look of it? Have you got yourself
I've got a bed in the room.
Is it got a frame or is it on the floor?
No, it's an actual bed.
I'm just checking. How many pillows have you got?
Why?
I'm just checking.
Why are you asking this?
Don't be so worried.
I am.
How many?
That doesn't assure me with confidence. When someone says, don't be so worried, instantly makes me worried.
How many you got?
The normal amount.
What's the normal amount? That's the question.
Between 1 and 700.
Oh, come on. How many you got?
I don't know, about 3 or 4.
Okay, it's cool. Sweet. So you are maybe not... This doesn't necessarily apply to you, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah.
Okay, because there has been a study done on males' bedroom habitat, if you like. Right?
Habitat is a good way to describe my bedroom.
So did you ever partake in the mattress just on the floor? Or have you always... No, you have.
In previous accommodation and when I was living in another city, yes.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting. So you did the mattress on the floor. How many pillows at that point? Was it a single pillow?
What am I on? Like, this is your life mattress edition.
What's important?
Yeah, I don't know, about 3 or 4 at the same time. I didn't think.
Right. Well, it's been shown that there's a high majority of guys getting around with a bed mattress just on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
No sheets, just a quilt and a single pillow.
Oh, no, I did sheets.
And not through the matter of, you know, not being able to afford better stuff. Just be like, meh.
Typical bloke.
Yeah. And so, like, for a long period of time, girls have been like, guys, what the, what, you know, they'll, maybe they enjoyed their evening.
Mm-hmm.
People want to spend a bit more time together. They go back and then they're like, and the girls are just like, what is going on in here? This is a cave.
And that is where I choose to live my life.
And a psychologist, Stephen T. Richards, has done an in-depth analysis of the male habitat, a.k.a. the bedroom. And his, I'll quote him, he says, it means that men don't get too comfortable in case they have to wake up suddenly and defend the cave against predators or even other men. So it's completely like a habitual kind of ancestral, really kind of animalistic reason that the guys are getting around with, like, one pillow, unwashed and crappy, and a bed on the floor.
Can I just say that is 100% not the reason why I got around with a few pillows and at the time had a mattress that was on the floor, and that was my living accommodations.
Mm.
It was just laziness from my perspective.
He goes on to say that in reference to the manky pillow, right? So I probably do fall foul of this slightly. I do have a favourite pillow that I use over and over again.
Mm. I think everyone has a favourite pillow.
Yeah. So that, he also suggests, the worn-out pillow being probably on the unclean side will enhance immunity. So even that has a survival value in the context of male warrior instincts.
I'm slightly worried about two things. Number one, how much you've read into this bloke.
Yeah.
And number two, this bloke.
Yeah, well, I guess now you've got an excuse not to wash your sheets again this week.
Good, didn't need one. Shazima, there's a question. When was the last time you washed your sheets?
I do mine every 2 weeks.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, look, I want to talk about this story that I saw overnight.
Mm.
However, I'm well aware that this is a bit gross.
Ooh.
I think is perhaps the best word to describe it.
Grim, okay.
So, Simo, I've kind of put a little thing in place here that if ever you are going to be the person here who will decide whether this is too gross to continue with.
Yep.
Or whether we can continue with. If ever you feel that it is too gross,
yep,
say the word and we will substitute. I found another story about a piece of gold as well.
Wait,
so we'll
do
that instead.
Do we need a safe word? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. So I'll start talking about this gross story, and then if you feel like it's getting too gross.
But we need to establish the safe word now. That's how these things work.
Okay, chicken parmigiana.
Too long. Palmy.
Palmy. Okay, there you go.
Done.
So anyway, if you say the word palmy,
yep,
apart from just then, I will...
That is the safe word.
Good. That's just for the show in general.
When things get too hinky, I'll say the code word and you will stop.
In like 3 weeks' time, we'll be talking about something that's a bit on the edge and you'll just yell out, palmy, palmy. And I'm like,
what is going on?
Like, yeah, I'll have one for lunch if you want. So, Simo, this was a guy who had a 15-inch long eel pulled from his gut after he inserted it, still alive,
wow,
into his backside.
He inserted
in an attempt to cure constipation.
Wow. Okay, I don't know where he's got his facts there.
Still no safe word, just checking that.
Yeah. So did he have a reputable source that this would work?
Simo. You ask a lot of questions on this show. That may be one of the stupidest ones ever. Did he have a reputable source that would endorse him shoving a 15-inch live eel into his backside?
Okay, I'll rephrase. Did he have a source?
Perhaps, I don't know. This man who has decided to remain unnamed, which is weird. I don't know why you'd want your name flashed around the media if you've gone through something like this.
Yeah.
He said the eel managed to tear a hole through his bowels, leaving this guy close to death. He's fine, though, so it's fine.
Fine?
Look,
I don't know. Fine is the word.
I'm not going to lie. It is less fine for the eel.
Yeah, right. How long was it? Do you know?
Yeah. 15. 15 inches, which is about 40 centimetres.
Whoa.
And that was a live eel that he decided to place there.
That is an interesting decision.
I went to hospital. Doctors managed to do surgery. And then the shocking image was taken by medics, which showed the 15-inch freshwater eel, still intact, albeit very dead, removed from his body. The eel had managed to eat up some of the fecal matter.
Oh, my God.
Which was, I think, what this guy wanted to do, to try and cure the constipation.
Okay.
However, in doing so, it had caused several bacterial contaminations in his abdomen that, left this guy close to death. But he is fine now, so good news. Less good news for the eel, but, you know.
Wow. So he's done some research, because it's like, it's had the effect that he wants, plus a few side effects.
I think plus a few side effects is very much an understatement.
Oh, yeah.
If a side effect of something was it may leave you close to death, do not do that thing.
Mm. So what country was this in?
unclear.
Okay.
There's very sketchy details about this guy because he doesn't really want to...
Because I've never heard of an eel inside a human being, but I have...
Good.
I have heard
for
of...
For very good reason. It leaves you close to death.
Like tapeworms are a thing. That,
what are tapeworms?
So, like, they... People accidentally eat them, like, as eggs in their food and stuff, and then they'll grow to, like, ridiculous sizes through the intestines.
Wait, so these things are in eggs?
Mm.
I had eggs for breakfast this morning.
No. Tapeworm eggs, like minuscule. Anyway.
Sorry, you go over to a cafe, you scrambled eggs. It's like, did I order this tapeworm here?
Yeah, so the record that currently stands for a tapeworm inside a human being, do you want to have a stab at how long?
So hang on, wait. So first, tapeworm, so they go inside you and then they grow inside you.
They eat all of the, same thing, they eat all of fecal matter, whatever's running through your intestines.
Okay.
And they grow inside your intestines. They're like, and they pull them out sometimes.
How big do they get? Is that?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
oh, I see. Also, it's a large
have
one.
A stab at it, the record. What do you reckon? The longest tapeworm pulled out of a human being.
Well, this guy, so the eel in question is 15 inches.
Yep.
I'm going to go, I'll say about half of that. I'm going to go 7.5 inches.
2 meters in length.
Oh.
That's like that handkerchief magic trick, you know, when they like...
It just keeps coming.
They pull the handkerchief out of the guy's pocket and it just never ends.
You'd need like some kind of reel or spindle or something on it.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, listen to Snow FM from 6 to 9 weekdays.